welcome to the Hooked on Health podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sean Lorden. I am the author of Stop Aging in Its Tracks and the owner of Concierge Physical Therapy, a sports medicine physical therapy practice with multiple locations in Massachusetts. Please sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Hooked on Health podcast. I've got Dr. Jenny Labonte of a practice in West Boylston with us today. And I'll hand it right off to you, Dr. Jenny. Please talk, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you get into, direct primary care medicine.
Sure, thanks so much. So I am a local gal. I went to medical school here in Worcester at UMass, and I graduated in 1997. And from there, I decided to do my residency in family medicine. So I stayed local again. I went to UMass Medical School's family medicine residency program. They do a really good job of training primary care doctors out of UMass. Mm-hmm. And so I completed that in the year 2000. And then what I did from there was I joined a small group practice that was owned by one of our large local hospital systems. And I worked there with a small group for several years, really enjoyed it and built up a practice. And, fast forward 20 years from there, I worked for another large employer across town. And then at that point in my life, 20 years into my career, I decided that I was ready for a change. So I decided to leave that kind of traditional healthcare system, and I basically opened my own private practice, and I'm doing what you already spoke about, which is direct primary care. And, along the way, it wasn't like one day I just woke up and said, oh, I'm going to open my own practice today. But there was sort of a slow transition happening probably from about like 2018 onward, where I started to get really interested in doing medicine slightly different. I became really interested in the psychology of habit change and helping my patients with some of the big things that we see in primary care, which is often obesity, depression, anxiety. We see so much diabetes. And I really felt like the traditional healthcare system did not give me enough time to spend with my patients so that we could really break it down and talk about what was leading to some of these health problems for them. And so I became really interested in things like health coaching, and I went off and I got my certification in health coaching. And I also became really interested in something called lifestyle medicine. And lifestyle medicine is essentially just the endorsement that a lot of our ailments can be prevented or cured with paying attention to six main pillars of health, which are exercise, nutrition, quality sleep, healthy relationships, avoiding toxic substances like tobacco and alcohol, drugs, and stress management. So as I got more and more interested in these things, I really wanted to try to develop a practice where I could really fully engage in all of these elements and take more time with my patients. And direct primary care allows me to do that. So that's how I sort of got to where I am today.
I think that's, that's incredible. And I think, lifestyle medicine, Jenny, correct me if I'm wrong, is sort of a newer kind of topic, mm-hmm. In the traditional sense of, being, the medical doctor field. So tell us more about, the history behind that and, prophylactic care.
It's interesting. The first time I heard of lifestyle medicine was probably back around 2018. And I went to a really large national conference down in, I think it was in DC. And they had invited people from all different types of practices. It wasn't just doctors. There were nutritionists and health coaches and nurses and physicians. And so they invited people of all different types of specialties to really embrace the idea of lifestyle medicine and incorporate it into their practices. And it was really, really interesting. And they really heavily emphasized plant-based or plant-predominant diets, you know, really talked a lot about like what helps people age well, what factors have they found in the research that helps constitute longevity. So there was, that was kind of a big eye-opening conference and I loved it. And interestingly, that field then became an actual board, like a medical board. So you can get board certified in lifestyle medicine, which is really neat.
That's really cool. I like that. Now, is that something you've done yet, or is that something you're planning on doing?
It's not. You know, I didn't really feel like I needed to have the board certification in order to embrace the concepts and teach them and, you know, live them out in my practice. So yeah, I just sort of utilize all of the tools and, you know, pass it on to my patients. And I feel like it's a really valuable standpoint.
And for our listeners, a board certification is a specialty medical exam that you have to sit for at a test center to prove that you're, you know, you can speak, you know, on the topic, you know, at a quote unquote competent level. And, you know, what Dr. Jenny is saying is that the concepts of it are, you know, I think concrete enough that she, you know, feels comfortable talking on it and, you know, embodying, you know, being able to speak about the concepts and going from there. But so you said something really interesting, you know, about the anti-aging and all, you know, basically all of that stuff. Right. So I think that that's a hot topic, obviously, for, you know, the boomers and, you know, any, you know, 50, really, I mean, I would say 40 plus, you know, patient of mine out there. So can you talk a little bit about what you learned, you know, from either that conference or just in your career about, you know, how people can age gracefully and age, you know, in a more healthy way?
It was so interesting. I went to this lecture at that conference that talked about something called the blue zones. And I don't know if that's something you've ever heard of, but apparently there's these hot spots around the world where they find that there are a large number of people living into their hundreds. And so researchers went there and they tried to figure out what is the magic potion that's allowing these people to live longer. And one of the really interesting things that came out of it wasn't just that these people were eating like fairly wholesome whole foods. A lot of these people didn't have access to like, you know, super high healthcare. A lot of them were, you know, living in Asia or maybe third world countries, but they seemed to have very strong connection with their community, which was interesting because that's one of the pillars of lifestyle medicine is sort of a sense of belonging within a community or having healthy relationships. And I thought that was super fascinating. It wasn't just like you're, you know, exercising your brains out or something, that these people were living longer because they had a sense of purpose. They were sitting down with their peers and having engaging conversations. And so it was stimulating their mind and their spirits. But beyond that, I mean, some of the advice that I give to my own patients in terms of longevity is I really think that staying moving is so important, you know, staying exercising and fit, you know, and that may look different for each individual, but having some sort of, you know, regular daily movement is so, so important and really keeps both the mind and the body healthy.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think I'm a little biased, Jenny, because I'm a PT. You know, there's a lot of research that I've read, you know, when I was doing, I did one of my papers when I was graduating on multiple sclerosis. And there, interestingly enough, to your point about the blue zones, there are zones where MS is just non-existent, basically, in the world. And it's pretty much right around the equator. And so when they dig a little deeper, you know, they still don't really know why it's non-existent around the equator. But, you know, it's super interesting to me, you know, as an aside, just, you know, the different variables that go into, you know, longevity, right? Because, you know, like you were saying, some of these, you know, areas in Japan or some of these tribes that you look at, and they've got centenarians like all over the place, or nonagenarians, and it's, you know, it's like normal, you know, it's a normal part of their culture, and they don't have access to, you know, whey protein and plant-based protein and multivitamins, right? And, you know, I think that the community piece is something that, and I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit, where you find community and, you know, where you tell your patients or suggest your patients find community, because I feel like often we're now looking and finding community on Facebook and on, you know, social media, when, you know, that's just not necessarily a great way to create a healthy, you know, a healthy, you know, a vibe. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the things I really like to emphasize to people is, you know, that everything is uniquely and individually tailored. I don't have like a one size fits all approach. So for one person, community and sense of belonging might mean that they're really linked in with their church. Or for another person, maybe it's that they have like their band of best friends that they, you know, go out for drinks every week or something. You know, it really just depends what somebody's interests are and where they feel like they have. I keep coming back to the word purpose, but that's really important. You know, for some people, purpose is interwoven with spirituality, but in some, it's more woven into their job that they do. And we see it a lot of times in retirees. You know, they really need to still have a sense of purpose, and many people wind up finding other interests or hobbies or even a second job after retirement. But that is one of the keys to, you know, getting up every day and having some structure and, you know, continuing to have a reason to live and want to keep going. So I think it might look different for each person. So I don't have like a specific like advice that I tell somebody to go hook up with X, Y, or Z, but I really think it's important for them to search their heart and see what do they feel pulled towards.
Yeah. What is your purpose, Jenny?
You know, I'm a very like multifaceted person. And so I think I have a lot of different interests, and my purpose probably changes depending on like what facet you're looking at of me. But in a work world, I think I really feel, you know, it's funny that the name of my practice, it's called Inspire Family Medicine. That really hooks deeply into part of my value system and what makes me tick, which is to inspire other people to be their best. And sometimes that is like patient to patient, but it also has to do with how I interact with my colleagues. And that's always been sort of who I am. I really enjoy like cheering other people on, sort of walking the journey with them. And I don't know, just seeing the best sides of them come forward. So that's a lot of what my purpose is.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, I think, you know, it says a lot, you know, to break away from a large hospital system and start your own business. And, you know, I mean, that your purpose, I'm sure you don't do that without a purpose, right? And I think that that's a, you know, that's, you know, to inspire others to, you know, to live, you know, better lives is, you know, is a great place to start, you know. And I think as providers, Jenny, like, it gets difficult when you're in the grind, you know, and you're treating patients every, you know, you're busy and your days are busy, and, you know, it gets, sometimes we lose focus of what we're doing it for, you know. And I think that that's to reflect and to remember, you know, for me, it's, you know, my patients are my community, you know. And and when I tell people that we onboard and I talk about our company and I talk about how we're growing and our footprint is growing and we're expanding, I talk about all of our lives that we're touching, right? Like, we're, you know, the reason I started Concierge was to affect more lives, you know, and to bring, you know, my vision of what, you know, great PT is to as many people as possible, and sharing that with as many families as possible. And, you know, I think that that's what makes me tick. And I think that that drive and that, you know, innate, and your innate ability to, you know, to inspire people is, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you just constantly have to remind yourself, like, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing it for, you know, is to help people. And I think that's great. So let's talk a little bit more about your practice, Jenny. So walk me through, you know, so it's, and we like the pricing and all that stuff aside, like walk me through a regular, you know, a regular, like, who is your perfect patient? I guess let's start there.
Well, you know, it's funny. I used to think about that. And I think that a lot of the people that come to see me do really value their health, because in direct primary care, it's a business model where the patient pays the doctor a monthly fee to belong to the practice. So on many levels, they're investing in their health just by joining the practice. So I feel like that's a really important thing, because in the past, I may have had patients who didn't care that much about their health, and they would arrive at my doorstep and maybe have an expectation that I was going to just fix them with a pill or something like that. So here it's more of a partnership, right? They're putting skin in the game by paying their monthly membership fee. They're saying, hey, I care enough about, you know, having this doctor relationship that I'm going to actually invest in this. And I think that there's some value to that, right? And so I don't know that there is like a specific avatar in terms of my perfect patient. You know, I really do have a strong female following. I think that if you looked at like the spread of ages and genders in my practice, you're going to see a peak of probably women in that like 40 to 55 age range. And I don't know if that's just because they relate to me and I'm in that same age range, or if that's just, those are the people that are seeking a lot of healthcare, you know, that they're the decision makers in healthcare. But I love variety. And that's probably a lot of why I went into family medicine, is I just love seeing like cradle to grave in terms of the age groups. I get tickled pink when I have like a three-year-old come in and, you know, talking trucks and dinosaurs. And then, you know, later in the day, I could have somebody who's like 96. And I love all the different age ranges. So that, you know, there isn't really one specific perfect patient. I think it's more of an attitude. It's somebody who's showing up, who enjoys and really values relationships, enjoys talking and spending time with their doctor. I'm like a very relationship-based person. So I think that comes out from just talking with me. But and I think the people who like that are drawn to me naturally.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, so I think, so what I'm hearing is that, you know, you're signing up for a relationship, right? And it, you know, you kind of, you know, it's not just that once a year you check in with your doctor and, you know, it's sort of, you know, probably, I'm sure you check in with your patients a little bit more than once a year. What does that look like?
So what's nice about the direct primary care model is that when people are paying this monthly membership, I don't put any restrictions on how much or how little they get in terms of care. So I just tell people, listen, you have unlimited visits. There's no cap on that. And it all kind of washes out. So some people take advantage and they see me every month, and some people hardly ever come in. You know, I sort of leave it up to them.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that really what it gets down to is, one of the things that's great about direct primary care is that the doctor usually has a much smaller patient panel. So that affords me better access to the patient. So, you know, if somebody calls, like, for example, I had a patient texting me earlier this evening and she said, hey, I really have an urgent problem. Can I come and see you tomorrow? And I quickly checked my schedule and I said, yep, why don't you come in tomorrow at 10:30? And there's just such an ease of communication. And I think that's one of the things that people get. That's a huge benefit, is that typically we're giving patients ways to text, call, email at, you know, reasonable hours of the day, and, you know, be able to get straight through to the doctor and get an answer pretty quickly. And I feel like that really removes a lot of the hassle out of healthcare that so many of us deal with on a regular basis, and creates a lot of frustration for people. So that's that's one thing that I love about this style of practice is just being able to remove that frustration piece for people. So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of benefits. I could go on and on, but those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, and you know, I can, you know, easily tell you from a, you know, a frustrated customer sometimes, and you know, because I, you know, I go above and beyond to, you know, try to accommodate people. I'll come in early, I'll stay late, and you know, if there are evals that, you know, it's a post-op or something, you know, I'm always, you know, available, and so in turn, I expect the same from my physicians, you know, and yeah. that's not a realistic, I've come to realize, Jenny, that that's not a realistic expectation, but you know, we've got phenomenal physicians, and you know, that we know and that we use, but you know, it is nice to get, you know, to be able to text a physician and for the physician to respond and not get, you know, and nothing against like a, you know, a nurse, but like, they're not, you know, sometimes you want to have that one-on-one conversation with a doctor and not because you have the relationship with that person. And it's nothing, it's not belittling the nurse or any of their knowledge because, you know, nurses are what healthcare is built on. But, you know, sometimes you just want to talk to the person that you talked with the last appointment you were in there with, you know, and build on that conversation, you know, and I think, and again, just relationship based. What do people do, Jenny, if they need like MRIs, x-rays, blood work, what do they do? And that, do you send them to where they can take their, use their insurance?
Yeah, actually we do. So there's a couple of great options for people when they, work with us. One is that I'm always on the hunt for cost savings for my patients. So for example, a lot of people that come to me have high deductible healthcare plans. And so it's less expensive for them to pay my monthly membership fee than for them to see a traditional doctor and have to pay out of pocket all of the, you know, maybe office visit costs until they hit their deductible. So I'm always on the hunt for low cost options. And so I have my finger on the pulse of some great radiology options for people here in the Worcester area. And I also have really, really great wholesale lab prices through Quest. So that's a wonderful feature. So, you know, a lot of times we'll see inflated prices in the traditional healthcare model. Like you, if you went to get a cholesterol level drawn and your insurance paid for it, it might cost around $100 or something. But with some of the wholesale prices that we've been able to contract, it might cost you $9. So it's a huge difference. Now, if people want to use their insurance, they can. You know, it's just like regular care. If they went to see, you know, if I referred them to a physical therapist or a rheumatologist, they would use their insurance in those scenarios. But when they come to see me, we would, you know, not use their insurance at all. We don't bill their insurance company. So it's a pretty great deal. I mean, we're saving the insurance companies a lot of money. We're saving the U.S. healthcare system a lot of money because we don't have the same inflated prices, which is fabulous.
Yeah, you know, it's that's a conversation for a different day, Jenny, because I think it's the insurance companies that are getting rich, not the providers, you know, but that's a whole different conversation for another day.
That's right.
But what's that?
I was going to say, in a lot of states, they will actually allow direct primary care doctors to dispense medications right from their office. And doctors have the ability to order medications wholesale price. So we can get, you know, common generic medications for way cheaper than Walmart or Price Chopper or cheaper than GoodRx. And so a lot of patients get to have, you know, their regular prescriptions for a very, very inexpensive price. Now in Massachusetts, there's some laws that they don't allow medical doctors to dispense prescriptions, but in other states they can, and that's a great benefit.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and I think probably more so too, Jenny, in like the rural areas where there aren't pharmacists or, you know, I think that's a great thing. But yeah, you know, so I think, tell me a little bit more about, you know, so who you partner with, like, what do you, you know, and sort of like, I guess, you know, what do you love most about doing what you're doing now?
Yeah. So In terms of what I'm doing now, I've been slowly building, I guess, a collective of practitioners in my office that really sort of play out this whole idea of lifestyle medicine, sort of bringing it all under one roof for the patients. So one of the things that I found we had the greatest need for in this area is mental health services. We just don't have enough mental health counselors, psychiatrists, et cetera. And, you know, we see so many mental health problems in primary care that I felt like it was really important to bring a counselor under my roof. So I have a fabulous counselor. She works in my office a few days a week, and I can really easily link my patients up with her. And then we also paired up with a nutritionist who is working out of the office one day a week, and she's been doing nutrition consults for my patients, and that's been really lovely. And so I've continued to keep an open mind as to like what's next, you know, if I'll pair with somebody who's doing health coaching, or, you know, I really enjoy collaborating with people like yourself in physical therapy and just, you know, giving all of my patients the avenues, making it an easy handoff to meet with some of the other really talented practitioners that work in this area and can help them to reach their goals.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, trying to fill a referral for each of the six pillars, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still looking for like a sleep specialist that, you know, isn't somebody who's necessarily, you know, doing sleep studies, but more behavioral sleep medicine. I feel like that's a really important thing because a lot of people have trouble with insomnia, but they, you know, I don't want to just turn to pills and prescriptions, you know, but there's a lot of research showing that cognitive behavioral therapy makes a big difference with sleep. So things like that, stress reduction. I've made some good connections with people who do meditation teaching, things like that. So yeah, it's exciting. You know, there's a lot of areas where I'd love to branch out, maybe get a massage therapist to work with and help people relax a bit more.
See, we'll just have to buy a mansion somewhere, Jenny, and then we'll just put, you know, a specialist in every room. How about that?
Right? Yeah, we're just trying to give like a whole new meaning to primary care.
Yeah, like a canyon
really ranch. Pleasant experience.
A canyon ranch in Central Mass.
Exactly.
So, I think what you mentioned, and, you know, I really am such a fan of the lifestyle medicine, and it sort of, you know, it follows my philosophy, which is looking at patients as a whole person. And, you know, when I first got out as a PT and, you know, what they tell you in school is like, hey, like, don't just treat a knee as a knee, look at their hip and ankle, right? But it really is so much more than just the hip and ankle. And, you know, as you, you get out and you kind of touch more people and you feel more bodies and you start to really not fix people and then fix people, you start to see some trends and, you know, you really start to look at people as a whole person and not just their musculoskeletal system, Jenny, but how are they sleeping? What's their nutrition? Is, you know, for low back pain, you know, in terms of how we classify low back pain, depression has its own category in low back pain. And, you know, that's not even, you know, I mean, you're talking about cognitive behavioral therapy is the primary treatment for low back pain for that category. And, you know, so I just, the six pillars are so interesting to me. And this is the first conversation that I've ever had about really lifestyle medicine. And I've seen it a little bit on LinkedIn, but it really kind of, it's funny because it kind of hits all the doors of the prophylactic model that really it's where healthcare needs to go. And I think that you see it. I think, you know, hopefully more physicians will stop being so reactive and start to be a little bit more, you know, just like thoughtful around how we're actually helping people, right? Because you're exactly right. Prescribing the lisinopril and, you know, the beta blocker, it's just, it's reactive medicine. And it's, you know, you don't even have the room or the space to have the conversation with folks about how they can, you know, lower their cholesterol or lose weight. Right. So that's, I applaud you for taking the jump and, you know, and going the direction you're going, because I think it's what we need.
I love it. I appreciate that. And I think doing things like this podcast, you know, you're able to get the word out. And I feel like there's lots of different ways to reach people. It doesn't have to necessarily come in the confines of an exam room. It can happen in the, you know, through a podcast, or it could happen through a blog that you write on your website, or it could happen through one of the things that I've enjoyed doing is we have a YouTube channel, and every 2 weeks, the nutritionist and myself will stand up and we'll do a little cooking video, just teaching people like some healthy, quick, easy recipes. So I find joy in that. And again, it's just inspiring people to think outside the box. And sometimes it happens in the exam room. Sometimes it happens outside of the exam room. It might happen on a social media post, but there's lots of different creative ways to, you know, touch somebody's life. And you never know, there might be one small thing that you say or do that has a very profound, you know, cascade of events in somebody's life. And so who knows, but I'm hoping to do those kinds of things for people.
Yeah, I think you're well on your way for sure. One piece of advice for your 18-year-old self.
I think I definitely would infuse my 18-year-old self with a little bit more confidence to just go for it. and it wasn't that I wasn't going for it, but I think I probably would have jumped and started my own practice much sooner if I had realized how happy I was going to be doing things my way, you know? So I think trusting myself, knowing that I already knew how to take good care of people. And once, you know, the chains were taken off and I was able to do things the way I really instinctually knew how to do, that's when the magic started to happen.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Now into you. So favorite concert?
Ooh, well, there's a short story behind that one, but I think I've been to a lot of good concerts, including Jimmy Buffett was fun. I saw him at Gillette Stadium, but my husband and I somehow stumbled upon like third row Billy Joel tickets one year. And that was a really great concert, like seriously spitting distance to him. So that was fun.
I mean, that's pretty neat. I love that.
Yeah.
Favorite movie?
Well, I would say I don't have like one specific favorite movie. I am a sucker for rom-coms. I love comedy. I'm definitely a believer that laughter is the best medicine. So I really enjoy a good sense of humor. So anything funny, anything like Will Ferrell or Elf, we always watch Elf every time.
I think I've seen that movie 10 times at least. To the
movie. Exactly.
Every time I watch that, it makes me want to put maple syrup on everything for whatever reason. Just pour maple syrup on everything. That's awesome. Last book you read?
Ooh. Well, I always have a bunch of books that I'm in the middle of reading. Yeah. So I'll be like halfway through one, halfway through another. So I've got a lot of different ones. I've got like my beach reading books. So I've got this one series from Ellen Hildebrand, like all her novels are on the beach in Nantucket. So I'm in the middle of one of those, but I also do a lot of like different, like business entrepreneurial reading, a lot of Brené Brown, things like that, sort of like personal development type stuff.
All the fun stuff. We get it that we have to do, you know, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it is.
Different perspectives. Best tip to age gracefully for your clients?
Yeah, exercise. Period. End of story.
Yeah, I love that. One sentence.
I'm going to put a little addendum on that is do what you love. Like if you don't enjoy working out at the gym, don't do that. Like if having fun with exercise means that you're dancing in your kitchen while you empty the dishwasher, then that's the magic one.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and to piggyback on that a little bit, you know, I always say, you know, just get out into nature a little bit, you know, go for a walk around your neighborhood. And, you know, we know there's so much research just about walking, like a walk in the woods, what that does for your psyche.
Yes. You know, I love walking in the woods.
It's just good for the brain.
My kids, their eyes, they're always hearing me say fresh air and sunshine.
Yeah. Like when I was a kid, my parents used to just boot my brother and I have a twin brother, just boot us into the neighborhood and we just ride our bikes and, you know, go play with our friends for hours on end, you know, and you know, we had video games and that stuff, but we just, you know, that was a second thought. Like you just, when you were young, you just went out and played, you know? And I think as adults, we lose that fun. I don't know.
You
kind of get caught up in the, you know, in raising your own family and, you know, you kind of lose the, hey, like I could hop on a bike and drive, you know, ride around the neighborhood still. Is that, that's not crazy, you know, but you could also just go for a walk. But I totally agree, you know, find a hobby and do something you enjoy and it's never going to feel like exercise.
Exactly.
Awesome. One sentence, a one sentence mantra that you live by.
I love this one. It's called small hinges swing big doors.
Awesome. I like that.
I love that. I feel like I figured you would, you know, you can kind of apply it on lots of different levels, both from a physical standpoint, but also mentally, you know, when you think about some of the things and the tips that you give to your own patients, I know I'm oftentimes telling them, you know, baby steps, like that's how we create strong habits. It's like building upon baby steps. And so I often say, like, remember those small hinges will change, you know, when you make one small little change, that's going to change the trajectory of where you're going.
How long do you think it takes to create a habit? I ask this to everybody.
That's a good question. That's one of the books I'm reading is Atomic Habits. That's a big bestseller. I think it depends. It depends on how big of a change you're making. So, you know, I think the research and the studies have shown that if you're trying to make like a massive shift and you're like doing something that's complex with lots of different steps, that's going to take a lot longer to solidify than a small baby habit. But that's why I really like the concept of like stacking, you know, baby habits on top of each other slowly. I think you're going to get where you're going a lot faster than if you try to like take on some enormous, complex, new, totally different, you know, lifestyle or something.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, for our audience, what Jenny is saying is, you know, when you stack a habit, it's like you take a shower in the morning and then you brush your teeth, right? And then maybe you take 2 weeks doing that if you didn't brush your teeth before. And then after that, you go downstairs and you take your multivitamin, right? And you add that to the mix. So that's stacking. You know, James Clear, you know, I love that book. And I think there's so much great research in there, you know, and I think he settles on around 55 days. And, you know, I kind of go back and forth. I think that you're exactly right. It just depends on what you're trying to do. You know, you're trying to quit smoking, you know, 55 days is not going to be enough. You know, not that I'm a smoker, but we just know that there's just deep seated neuroplastic change that needs to happen there. But I think for exercise, if you can, you know, work out 2 months in a row and do it at a consistent time and a consistent, you know, in a consistent schedule, you're going to be good to go and much less resistance there. But yeah, I mean, thank you so much, Jenny, for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. And, you know,
thanks for having me.
For your time. And, you know, if anybody wants to reach out to Dr. Jenny, I'm going to include your, if it's okay with you, your email and, you know, the phone number to your practice in the bio. And, you know, it's Inspire Family Medicine. She's located in West Boylston, Massachusetts. It's Boylston or West Boylston?
West Boylston. Yep.
Boylston, Mass. And, she is an amazing person and an even more amazing doctor from what my patients say. So please reach out. And Jenny, thanks again for taking the time. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much, Sean.
Awesome. Have a wonderful night.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us for this week's Hooked on Health podcast. Please check out our website in the link below. Whether you're listening on Spotify or on our page, you can reach me personally by email for more information.